Ryan, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of May 1st. It's finally spring. With me, as always, is Jim Allen. How you doing, buddy?
Well, we've been training for the spring for a long time, but it finally came. So maybe all that practice has paid off.
That's right. Well, we go by my calendar. At least I do. And my calendar says if you get a couple of days where it's 20 degrees Celsius, then it's spring. And we got a couple in this week, this past week. So I'm declaring it spring. It's finally here. It's warm. Let's go watch some baseball.
Well, I'm glad it's official now because all this, this stuff by the calendar was kind of throwing me off.
Yeah, calendar, meteorological agencies, they don't know what they're talking about. Listen to me.
Hashtag high heat.
And I'll let you know when the rainy season starts too.
So what, our listeners should call you up in the morning about the weather?
No, we've got something called Twitter where you don't have to wake me up.
so you just post it on your Twitter feed and we'll know what the weather is.
Or they can ask via Twitter, whatever. I'm here to help. I've got all kinds of information.
I'm impressed.
And on this week's show, we've got a chat with Casey McGee of the Yomiuri Giants. We're going to talk about the Giants, the CL, the PO, and more. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so Casey previously played 1 year in Japan. It was a magical season, 2013 with the Rakuten Eagles, when he helped Masahiro Tanaka finish with a single season record of consecutive wins, 24 decisions. He went 24-0, blah, blah, blah. Casey was on that team. He had probably what could be considered an MVP caliber season.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, he hit .292, had 28 home runs, had an OPS of about .990, played in every game, had 150 hits. So then he left and went to the States to play and bounced around with a few teams, San Francisco, Miami.
Well, he had one season which was as good as his other, his first year back in Miami. He had a season where people were going, wow, this guy really picked up something in Japan, which was, is sort of like 3 or 4 years after he hit his peak, I guess, in MLB. He comes back and he has this, comes out of nowhere, and he has this, I don't know what you'd call it, prototype Eric Thames season. sort of a fetus an unborn, so like a preview,
right? And Eric Thames is tearing it up with the Milwaukee Brewers,
indeed.
So much so that people want to ask him what kind of drugs he's been doing. But anyway, Casey's played in Miami, San Francisco, and now he's back here. And we talked about it in the preview, in the prediction show in the Central League, and I think it was MPB Tracker who had very little faith in him. But I thought a couple of things. That one, it's not a new player coming to Japan. It's a player who has been here before. And two, the Pacific League has, and at that time I thought, had much better pitching than what we normally see in the Central League. So that he'd have that adjustment. He'd also have the opportunity to play in Tokyo Dome a lot and a lot of Central League stadiums that, for example, the Yokohama, where the ball carries, Jingu, where the ball carries. And then you got the wide open spaces of Koshien and also Nagoya Dome. So I thought he would be able to have some success. He's hitting .284 as we go into Sunday's games. We're taping on Sunday morning here. And I got to sit down with him on Saturday. Now, setting up this interview, this was Saturday, a few days after we had learned of the passing of Wayne Grosick, and I was at Tokyo Dome, and it was a tough time for me. I was sitting down trying to concentrate on the interview, but it was really hard sitting in the Giants dugout and knowing that that's where Wayne talks to a lot of the players. And it was just a really sad, hard interview for me to get through, but I got through it. I don't know. I didn't cry at the end. Casey talked about Wayne too, and he said when he gets to do a hero interview that he's gonna bring up the topic of Wayne and why he wasn't covered, and that people should be paying more attention to his passing and what he did for Japanese baseball, for the community.
Yeah, I want to see how that plays out. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm hoping it happens at Tokyo Dome, but he says as soon as he gets a hero interview. So we're hoping that he does well so we can you know, hear him say that. But it might be that by the time this show comes out, he has a good game on Sunday and has done it already. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. Maybe it'll be like Masahiro Tanaka's post-game interview the other day of MLB, in which he said, I knew I was against a good pitcher and I wanted to do well. And his interpreter said probably what they'd been talking about all day, but he didn't say on the field.
Right. But I did have an extended, after the interview, had an extended chat with Casey, and he really got Wayne. He said it was really nice to talk to him on the field before games, and he had talked to him in Kumamoto the night before, and you know, he just understood what Wayne was about and how he loved baseball and how he was just trying to get the word out about Japanese baseball and how he was friendly with all the players. So it was a really nice chat. Of course, all that stuff is after the interview, but we had a nice chat. Let's take a listen. We're joined by Casey McGee of the Yomiuri Giants. How's that sound to hear?
I'm starting to get a little bit more familiar. It took a little bit to get used to it, but it's been long enough now to where it doesn't sound weird.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate your time.
No problem, anytime.
All right, so since your departure from Rakuten, you've been Miami, San Francisco, Detroit. You double-dipped, I think, in one spot, and now you're double-dipping on Japan. How's that whole ride been?
It's been interesting twists and turns, but, I'm happy I'm back here, and, I wouldn't have changed anything if I had a chance to do it over again.
I know your family life in Tokyo is important with your child and everything. How's that situation living in Tokyo?
It's good. I mean, it's pretty much every convenience that you could possibly imagine from a big city. So that's been really a pretty easy transition. In addition to the fact that, you know, he's experienced Japan before, and my wife and my other child, my daughter, they've been here before, so they knew a little bit more what they were getting into. But all in all, it's been a pretty smooth transition.
All right, now I guess coming to this team is a lot different. What was the reaction when you told people, I'm going to Japan to play for the Giants, as opposed to when you said, I'm going to Japan to play for the Rakuten Eagles?
Yeah, there's a lot less explaining when you say Yomiuri Giants. A lot of baseball fans around the world know, you know, about the Giants, and going to Rakuten, it took a little bit more of a conversation to explain the situation, and it ended up usually they play in the same league as the Giants and just the other division, so a little easier to explain to people.
What was the reaction?
I don't know. The people that mattered were all excited for me and happy for me, and being my family and friends, they knew I was excited about it. So, other than that, I'm not really too concerned what anybody else thought, as long as the people that are important to me were okay with it and supportive.
All right, now there's a lot more foreign players on this club, and that makes it a very, very competitive aspect in terms of playing time and a roster spot. So how's that been for you so far?
You know, I think it's...
We know Garrett Jones is hurt right now, so that helps.
Well, you know, you don't ever want anybody to be hurt, but, it's really no different. It's, if you do your job, you're going to play. If you don't do your job, they're going to try to find somebody that does it. And, that's the way it should be. So from that aspect, it's really no different than, you know, being back home in the States. You got to perform, and you got to play well to continue to get opportunities.
Now, you and Garrett Jones were in camp together. What were those conversations like when you're talking to him about, you know, your 1 year of experience in the Pacific League, and maybe he's talking to you about his 1 year of experience in the Central League?
It helped me and Garrett play together in Pittsburgh and Miami a little bit, so we both know each other, and that definitely helped the conversation, I guess. But, you know, we're both professionals about it, and, you know, Cruz the same way. We're all professionals about it and realize that we all have a job to do, and it's not a personal thing or anything like that. Everybody's got to go out and try to, you know, fulfill their end of the bargain and do their job.
Who helped whom more when you guys were talking about maybe pitchers and approach and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, Garrett was much more familiar with the pitchers of the Central League than I was, so that was a big help. But even a lot of the Japanese players have been really gracious with their time to try to help me with some of the pitchers that I'm unfamiliar with. And, it is nice that we have kind of a veteran team, and a lot of guys have been around. And, you know, there's a lot of guys on this team that I respect as baseball players and hitters that when they say something, you know, I definitely listen to what they have to say.
Well, you mentioned Japanese players. What about the manager? Because the last time you were here, you were playing him in the Japan series. How's he been as a manager?
Yeah, he's good. He's completely different than my manager in Rakuten. You know, Shino-san, I loved him to death. But, you know, different personalities. But, you know, Takahashi's a... obviously, I remember him as a player. And, you know, he's got a good calming influence. And for the most part... relies on us to prepare ourselves for the game and trust that we know what it takes to prepare. But, you know, he definitely is not afraid to point things out if they need to be pointed out. So I've really enjoyed him so far.
He looks like such a laid-back guy. Have you ever seen him angry or yelling or upset?
No, I think that's one of his best attributes is he stays pretty even-keeled, doesn't get too, too excited either way. And you pretty much know what you're going to get personality-wise from day-to-day from him.
All right, now, they changed the slide rule coming into this season to match the Major League slide rule at second base mostly. I didn't think it was really necessary. I don't think guys in Japan go out to destroy the infielders the way we do in the States. But, I mean, how have you seen that impact the game?
I think I agree with you. I don't think it's impacted the game in Japan as much. On the other side of it, I absolutely hate the rule. Not because you're trying to hurt people. But that's been a part of the game since the game was invented, was, you know, trying to make it difficult for a guy to turn a double play. And, you know, I've always kind of, as long as you're not doing something completely ridiculous to go after a guy, I've always kind of taken the approach that it's the infielder's responsibility to practice the footwork to be able to protect themselves. And, you know, the time I've spent playing second base in the big leagues, I know that was something that, you know, at that time, the slide rule was the old way, and you know, it was on me to protect myself.
Now, you mentioned it, I was going to hit on that. You worked out a little bit at second base and for the Giants here, and how much is that a reality? You playing there at some point?
Actually, I went over there in one game against Hiroshima already this year for part of the game. I don't really have a good answer for that, but. You know, if they ask me to do it, I'm happy to do it if that's what they feel like is best for the team. But, you know, whatever they want, whatever they need or want me to do, I'm happy to give it my best effort.
How comfortable are you there?
You know, I think maybe one thing I pride myself in is that I'm a baseball player. And by saying that, I mean the fact that, you know, even though you're maybe at a different position, you know, you're still catching ground balls and, you know, and throwing balls. And it's at the end of the day, once you get over the positioning and the location you're at, the fundamental job is pretty much the same.
All right, now you've played every team once already in the Central League. How do you evaluate these teams, the opposing teams, the pitchers, and the lineups?
I think it's going to be an exciting year. I think there's pretty, I don't think there's any team that necessarily stands out on the top or bottom end. I think it's going to be an exciting, close fought season. You know, each team's got their guys that, you know, you kind of highlight as far as, you know, the pitching matchups and stuff. So, you know, I think it's going to make for a really exciting season.
Now, I see your team at full power, you know, when you've got everybody out there healthy, maybe being the best lineup in the Central League. And once you get everybody on the mound, I think you guys have really strong pitching. And I picked you guys to win the Central League pennant. So how about... I'm about doing a little better these days.
I think that the season's so long. I think that, you know, you're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to have your hot streaks and your cold stretches. We haven't, other than the, you know, right out of the chutes, we came out really hot. Since then, we've kind of been up and down a little bit. But I guess if you're going to go through a time where you're up and down a little bit, this is the time to do it. And thankfully, we've done enough to not, you know, to be still right in the thick of it and not get ourselves buried.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, I think, like I said, it's going to come down to the end, and I think it's going to make for a really exciting finish this season.
All right, well, good luck and stay healthy the rest of the way, bud.
Absolutely, thank you.
Appreciate the time.
No problem, anytime.
All right, thanks again, Casey. I really appreciate you sitting down with the time, taking the time, and
yeah,
it was fun.
Yeah, that was cool. It was good hearing your voice. As I said, I've been trying to get overcome my email. I don't know, what is it, a handicap?
Deficiencies?
Deficiencies, yeah. Well, I, you know, he gave me his email before he left, and then I did send him an email congratulating him when he caught on with the Marlins in 2014, but the email never got there. When I went to look for it, I could never find it. I couldn't find it in the system. It was sort of like hocus pocus.
Hocus pocus. Yeah. So I can't the find email that. Deficiency for you is like the backdoor slider, right? It's just hard to hit, hard to read, and hard to hit.
Yeah, it's kind of like the gyro ball.
The gyro ball.
I got mail that doesn't seem to be mail, and mail that is and it isn't, you know, so.
All right, well, what tickled your ears in that one?
Well, a few things. One, you know, it's good to have Casey back because we probably don't have enough.
Be nice.
I shouldn't say this.
Be nice.
We don't have enough guys who'll be... bend over backwards to be fair to everybody. You know, all the teams are good, all the players are good, all the kids are above average.
So he's doing a Gumby act on trying to be nice.
Well, no, it's kind of Garrison Keillor, I think, a little bit. And but one of the things I thought were really interesting. I thought it was. First of all, the first real report I've had about Yoshinobu Takahashi, other than beat reporters telling me that, you know, as I said before, that he seems more like the messenger who takes the orders from the coaches and gives it to the players. And you know,
would you like fries with that?
Well, yeah, could
more coffee, sir?
No, I don't mean it that way. But you know, the guy carries. You know, when the coaches want something from the umpires, he goes and tells them. because we don't see anything on the field except that,
right?
No, he's always talking with coaches. I think he's so. Anyway, yeah, got a calming influence. I like that. That was interesting. I thought it was also interesting his take on the slide rule, which is not, you know, what. You know, engineers used to carry in their pockets, but
wow,
the bit of
with a, yeah. Along with a protractor.
Indeed.
Okay, yeah, millennials, go look that up. Go Google that.
Indeed. And it was interesting because he had played second base, and you know me, I'm not stuck to any rules. You know, we have to do it a certain way, and I think the slide rule, you know, is actually quite good because. Again, the whole bit about, you know, and I know old baseball people, and I understand
mm-hmm.
Where they're coming from, you know, that this is part of the game. But on the other hand, that's like the TV people selling TVs that aren't very good and say, hey, this is the way TVs always have been.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, sometimes you just got to smack them. So when they get, you know, and they don't work, you smack them, you know, and so, but again, that's the thing. From his perspective, I understand it's completely reasonable and a defensible position. But from the perspective of what the fans want to see, I think that's it. That's actually my position on this and the obstruction rule is that basically they're doing what the league should have been doing for 100 years and failed to do, which was enforce quality control.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that was the thing, and I hate to disagree with Casey, and I am sitting next to him thinking, well, I don't think so, but we got to finish our interview. But and he's a guy who has played the position, and he's a competitor, but we're gonna have differing opinions on this. I just think what I said is I don't believe in taking middle infielders out because a teammate hit the ball on the ground. That's just it's my concept when I'm working out. It's my philosophy when I look at the big picture, which is for workouts is don't kill myself in one workout because the most important workout is the next one. And you know, you don't wear yourself out because you're tired, because you have to do it again. And it's the same for a double play ball. If guy hits into a double play, well, just go get him next time. You know, you can't help that. And
right. Well, that's how the game is becoming. But, you know, and certainly if you're a player, and I, you know, we went through all this with Matt Merton, and basically you're allowed to harm a player. I mean, not intentionally, but you're allowed within the rules. You can there were excuses. There were situations in which injury to players who were unprepared, or as Casey said, were lacking in skill, were part of the game because they lacked skill and because you had to do what was necessary to win for your team. And if you didn't, you were at fault. So the game, by permitting you to injure opponents, and I didn't know, and again, people aren't going out to injure opponents, but it's the byproduct of that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And if the game permits you to, then you have to some degree when it's important.
Right.
And so let's just take that out.
Oh, let's take that out of the game.
Yeah, take that part where, it's okay to injure your opponents because you're obligated to.
Right, and I know the players have mutual respect for each other, and they aren't really trying to hurt each other, but they're trying to put pressure on the opponent to make the play because it's not easy to make a play when you've got people bearing down at whatever miles an hour. But I just think in the mentality I know is not focused on slamming the guy and making it a physical confrontation. But that's what happens sometimes because you're doing that. And I just say, slide, make it a fair slide. I've been saying it on the show for years. Just slide like you're trying to be safe. And you can slide hard like you're trying to be safe and not come off the bag. And that puts enough pressure on the guy to do the right footwork and get out of the way. And I just don't think that you need to slam the guy. But, we didn't talk about it. Maybe he has a different philosophy in terms of how to slide. But I just think it's nice to have the rule that it's out there in black and white so that players know, managers know. And if somebody has an illegal slide, it can be called. Because I don't think before they would call such a thing. I remember Kimiyasu Kudo, the skipper of the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks, coming out to argue a call that was a couple of years ago at second base.
It was last spring.
Was it? I thought it was a couple years ago. But
no, it was
Ken Skate to Nakayama at second base, and he went out to argue, but there was no rule,
right?
Per se,
and it almost like they started talking about it that week about it doing the major leagues had just brought that in, and I talked to John Cox, who was he was the lead Yankees scout when the Yankees signed Hideki Matsui and then finished his scouting career with the San Francisco Giants. And we talked about this last summer. And he's going, look, baseball's, part of baseball is intimidation. You want to take that away? You think these old baseball people want to take that away? And the answer is no. But Katsuya Nomura is probably the grumpiest
of the grumps.
Well, he's the grumpiest famous player in Japan, probably. I guess Isao Harimoto's given him a run for his money, but he's one of the grumpiest old guys. The curmudgeon, is the curmudgeon, and he once said when the Central and Pacific League managers met in 2005, said, why should we announce our starting pitchers? If you're fighting a war, you don't tell your opponents when you're launching your missiles.
Yep, I remember that.
Right, which, of course, the analogy to that is, but you're not selling tickets to a war. You're not trying to build a fan base.
Yeah, and that tired argument that this is the way we've always done it, that just doesn't hold water. I don't think we can continue with that. That's not, things change.
And baseball is war, and players' lives should be on the line, and their bones should be, you should be able
at
to
risk.
Threaten, you should be able to threaten players with bodily harm in order to enforce the rules written or unwritten.
Right. Nah, so not yep. not buying it. I'm not down with that.
We're the pacifists. We're on the pacifist side here, which
live to fight another day.
Indeed,
but keep up the fight.
Indeed, well, live up. Yeah, exactly. But and I understand that the hard nosed competition is what these guys have been through, and they're so used to it. And to them, it's part of the game, and I absolutely understand that. But I think as a fan. You want to see what I want to see is more, highly skilled plays, better fielding plays, better base running without the, without the collisions you know, having that little, you know, I agree, it'll take a little bit of the edge. It takes that tiny bit of that, you know, edge off the play, you know, when you're wondering whether somebody's going to be able to walk away from this.
Right.
yeah. Takes that shadow of fear out of the play, but I think it's pretty exciting to see it, you know, without having to worry about that also.
Yeah. I mean, if your team is the team that's batting and hits the ball on the ground, you just want to slam the TV screen. And if your team is the team that's defending in the field and you think there's a double play ball, you watch it to the end and you hope they turn the play. And I mean, yeah, it's just a different perspective, but I don't think guys should be putting their careers on the line when they're trying to turn a double play. That's
yeah. I mean, I saw Carlos Peguero on the other day, you know, looked like he suddenly had to stop and tie his, you know, step out of the baseline and tie his shoe before he got to second base. You know, I'm thinking, oh my God, what? And still in me, I'm still thinking, man, that's not the way to do it. But, you know, even for somebody who opposes, you know, who's for rules that allow the players to keep playing hard.
Right.
And then here's the thing. Are you playing hard if you're not playing old style stuff? And the answer is yes.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, passive rules of engagement. Yeah.
But it's still hard. It's still, even for me as somebody who's all about, you know, let's do this the right way, to see the guy, you know, look like, you know, he dropped his keys in shallow right field and he's looking for him. Right. I want you know, I have my contacts out here somewhere. I just remembered on the way to second base. Even to me, that strike, that looks weird, and I don't want to see that. But you know, that's part of the game too. Playing, you know, being smart for your team and not smashing into the walls like some outfielders tend to do. Right. And having to get carted off the field. So,
anyway, it was nice of Casey to sit down with us. I know his family is doing well here. He has a son who needs extra attention, I guess. In the Tokyo has all the amenities.
He did.
It's that Tokyo can take care of all the needs that his family has. So he looks like he's going to settle in well. And I don't know if I want to see him at second base too much. I'd rather see him on one of the corners playing for the Giants. But I think he's going to, as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to be productive for him. So let's talk about the Giants.
Okay.
They are doing okay. I actually, they started out like, and so did Shinosuke Abe, like a bunch of gangbusters, but they've slowed down in recent days.
Okay, which means they're not busting, you know, they're not putting felons in prison anymore?
They can't find the untouchables.
they've slowed down a bit, but I think they've been playing at a nice clip. You know, they beat up the Swallows pretty good the other day. Of course, well, I shouldn't say that. They beat up Masanori Ishikawa. Had one of these days where he was, you know, throwing fat pitches, and they took advantage of it, which is not a true test, I guess. But you know, you got to put swings on the ball. You know, it's good batting practice for them.
Good batting practice, yeah. Well, I keep saying that it's going to be tough to win games, and there are going to be some blowouts here and there. But I think on the whole, these 1-0 games, 2-1 games, we've seen a lot of 1-0 games, a lot of 2-1 games and 3-2 games. And that's what I think we're going to see the majority of in the Central League. You know, these teams that are going to fight for the playoffs, the second, third, fourth place teams in that area, really going to scrap and beat each other to death. I think by the time that's one thing to think about is by the time they get to September and October, they're in no shape to try to take on a Pacific League team because they've been beating each other up.
Well, I don't. Well, they need more help, obviously. If you're in the Central League, you do need more help. You do need more help in the postseason than. Yeah, and being worn down from a pennant race is not really going to help you. But of course, that comes to the manager and
the plan
and having a plan indeed.
Yeah, but
so we'll
definitely
see how those develop.
The Giants have not been in top form recently, and especially catcher Seiji Kobayashi, who
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, he's been kind of a stick poke dead looking guy out there. You just want to walk up and poke him with a stick to see if he's still alive.
And oh, he's playing catcher. He's playing okay.
With the bat. And this is coming off this WBC where it looked like he was amazing and was going to have a great season. But then he gets into the Central League where everybody knows how to pitch to him, and he's regressed. Well, maybe he's looking for the same pitches he saw in the WBC, and he's not getting them. So.
Well, I think that's because we saw him talking to Andrew Jones.
Looking for his pitch.
He ain't seen it yet.
In that same bag of balls, you're not going to find that pitch. So, yeah, and they've sent out some rookies early on who out of the bullpen. They played some younger guys. This kid, Shingo Ishikawa, who actually is not that much of a kid and had played before. Nope. But he found himself in the lineup and producing out there for the Giants. So they've done well considering. And this guy, their closer, Archimedes Caminero, has been pretty sharp at the back of the bullpen, because you don't remember Brian Falkenborg? And he said,
sure I do.
Yeah.
Von Falkenborg, yeah.
He said, hey, the less they talk about you, the better the job that you're doing. And we're not talking about him, so he must be doing a good job. And, you know, not anything like Hirokazu Sawamura in the cardiac kid type saves that he was going through, or save situations save performances he was putting on.
Yeah. You know, the Giants, well, that's the thing. The Giants bullpen has been really since Tetsuya Yamaguchi hit his, crash to earth about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Kentaro Nishimura crashed to earth 4 years ago. Since those two pretty much regressed to the mean, it's been tough. You know, Scott Matheson had a tremendous year last year in the support role. Well, he has for a couple of years, but last year he was really locked in, and that really saved him, because that got him to Sawamura a lot of times.
Right.
And this year it's Caminero, and he's been very solid. So yeah, that's good stuff. And Ishikawa.
Yep. Shingo, the outfielder. Yeah.
Yep. I of course, as I guess, I don't know if people remember, I really liked him when he was with the Fighters. He was a guy who really overperformed in the Eastern League.
Mm-hmm.
He's got really, really solid credentials, much, much better than Taishi Ota, the guy he got traded for. But Ota was, you know, as a first round draft choice, and he was famous in that respect. And
right.
He was gonna be the next Hideki Matsui. And so he was sort of the big name in that deal, but I always liked Ishikawa better. And he never really got a chance. Well, the Fighters outfield has always been very hard to get into.
Right.
The Giants outfield's sort of like Mudville.
It's hard to stay in. Yeah, because as soon as you have a couple bad games, you get yanked.
Yeah, and the Fighters...
Except for Hisayoshi Chono.
Yeah, well, we could pick on him for a while if we like. But anyway, no, the Giants are doing okay. Sakamoto's just having a tremendous... He's following up, you know, his, I guess, a career year, because he did it... You know, he's had big offensive years, but last year he had a big offensive year and a big defensive year, and he's doing that the same. He's running the bases really, really well. There's nothing I haven't seen from him that I don't like.
Yep. Just an all-star.
Tateyoka's looked much more attentive. And I say that because he was sort of the poster boy for base running mistakes the last couple of years.
Attentive on the bases, yes.
And in the outfield, too. I've liked, well, attentive on the bases. I mean, like a play, I believe it was in Kagoshima, he made a play on a ball. I think he was going with the pitch from first, and he scored on a single, and he just took him completely by surprise. He saw how the Swallows were handling the ball in the outfield, and because he was sprinting to third and prepared to go home, you know, he made it, and it that won the game for him. So to see somebody who was basically an accident waiting to happen looking like, you know, suddenly playing, I don't say like a smart guy like Ozzie Smith, but, you know, playing heads-up baseball, you really got to like that.
Yeah. And then the rotation, I mean, this is not the rotation we, well, at least I expected. They've been running guys out there. I mean, Yosuke Miyaguni got a start the other day.
Indeed.
And we've seen Hayato Takagi get a start. We've seen Tetsuya Utsumi play a role in the rotation. But the main guys, Tomoyuki Sugano, who, coming off the WBC, they gave him a little bit of a break. Mm-hmm. And he's molded into form here. Miles Michaelis, the ghost of Toshiya Sugiuchi. When is he coming? We still don't know. In fact, I was reading an article the other day that said he really doesn't even have a timetable. That he had hip surgery in the off season.
Ow!
And it's just
not. I can sympathize with that.
Yeah, the hipster, and it's just not. It's just not. I just don't even see when he'll be back. And they brought up the reporter who did this story that I was reading brought up the notion of retiring, and he said, "What are you crazy?" So he wants to come back, but
go ahead. There are more benches to take issue with in his career.
Yeah. You'll have to reference that for our newer listeners. I don't remember what year it was.
It was before he was MVP. It was he was in a pitching against Lotte when he was with the Daiei, I think it was even then. It might have been 2004, 2005, and he was having a really rough stretch. Gave up, I think, 5 or 6 runs in an inning, and he went back and he decided that it was the bench's fault. So he started punching the bench with the hard plastic bench at Fukuoka Dome with both fists and broke both his hands.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. So that's the story Jim is referencing. Anytime he's talking about Toshiya Sugiuchi and a bench. Or any bench. The other guys, Kazuto Taguchi has really turned into a really decent starter. I mean, I remember guys talking about him last year. I think it was Luis Cruz was talking to me about him and saying how good a pitcher that he really liked him.
Yep.
And then Kan Otake is still out there. I mean,
He's been more reliable than I really thought he would be.
Exactly. They just have all these guys. And this is why I said, well, they're going to have a chance to compete for the pennant, because they just have guys who go out and get the job done. And you don't always see them coming. You don't always think that they can get it done, but they end up doing it. But I think if the Giants are not where they believe they should be, that they'll go out and get another foreign pitcher or somebody to come in and be part of the rotation. They'll just go and buy somebody. As Aaron Guile once said, that when the Giants don't have enough talent, they just go out and buy more talent. So,
yeah, and you know, and hopefully they'll do better than Juan Francisco this time.
Yeah, but they're only 2 games over 500 as we go into Sunday's games, and I think that's kind of a surprise to me. I would think that they should be winning more games. And
don't know, but I certainly agree with the ability to go out and buy talent. I think that's really part of the Giants. You know, they have that additional resource that, you know, the Giants and the Tigers have that other teams don't really. You know, the other teams have to look for affordable talent.
Hmm, right.
The Giants don't really, you know, that's, the money's like that. Not really a big issue.
Right. Yep, I agree. So, looking at the Giants, only 2 games over 500, we see that just above them in the standings are the Hanshin Tigers, who are 3 games over 500 as we go into Sunday's game. So, I was thinking the Tigers have really had some strong outings, and I look the outings from pitchers and everything, but I look at their defense. There was a story on Yahoo, I think it was this morning. They've got 22 errors in 23 games, and there are countless other plays that they just haven't made.
Mm.
And they're winning games despite not playing great defense. And when I wrote some notes the other day, they had been outscored by only 1 run, but were over 500. With the record, and I thought that was odd, but then they won 6-0, I think it was, on Friday. They beat Junichi, so that they're now outscoring their opponents. But I just thought, what am I missing here? Why are they winning so many games when their defense and their run scoring suggest that they shouldn't be where they are?
Well, I think that's. I think you are incorrect in that their defense suggests they shouldn't, because generally you don't see good teams with bad defense.
Right.
And their defense right now is probably not going to get any worse.
He says laughing.
Well,
he says with a little under-the-breath chuckle.
No, but I mean that. It's probably about as bad as it can get, because they are professionals and they do have talent. They have talent and they have options. But I think the offense is the thing. You know, actually, I look at the Tigers and I look at two measures. I look at how they do, you know, how the individual runs, you know, the runs they score and they allow. And there's the Pythagorean winning percentage based on that, which is sort of where you can expect the teams to play.
Right.
And the Tigers, you know, based on runs scored and allowed, should be a 5-12 team, and they're a 5-65 team. Okay, so they're a little bit ahead of that. But here's the other thing is, based on the other things, you know, the run components, you know, what you do to put runs on the board, your singles, doubles, errors, stolen bases, grounded into double plays, and sacrifice flies and sacrifices and whatnot.
Right.
They're worse. You know, they could easily be a below 500 team. So I don't see. I think what's happened with the Tigers is that they've been scoring runs consistently.
Yeah.
They normally are wildly inconsistent, and I guess you could say they are, because, you know, they scored a whole bunch of runs in their first two games. But the thing about the Tigers is, well, they've been shut out once this year, which is about par for the course. They're going to get shut out several times a year just because they played Koshien.
Right.
Yeah, they started out scoring bunches of runs, but they've been consistently scoring two runs, three runs, four runs. Maybe it's because Minoru Iwata isn't starting, because they only score one run every time he starts.
it was the DNA-based Stars who shut him out 1-0 back on April 25th.
But
at Koshien, like you said.
But I want to digress a little bit here. On July 11, 2010, Randy Messenger made his first NPB start for the Tigers.
Uh-huh.
He started the season in relief, and in that game, the Tigers scored 7 runs. A week later, it was 11 runs, and he must have been thinking, you know, I can get used to this. And he did. And it was like, after that, it was 6 runs and 8 runs and 6 runs and 12 runs. Okay, so that was 2010. That was the last year of the Lively Bowl. Now, in 2011... they went to the deadest of the dead bowls.
Right.
Okay. And 2012, they had the same. And the Tigers didn't score 3 or more runs in 5 straight of his starts until June 22nd, 2013.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they did it again in 2014 in March. And they did it last year in April. So here... And then this year, we have Randy Messenger, and we have his 5. He's 4-0, and in his starts, the Tigers have scored 10 runs, 5 runs, 4 runs, 4 runs, 6 runs, and they've won every game. He's 4-0, but the team's 5-0. So, again, this is not the norm.
Right.
I mean... so basically they've scored a huge number of runs when he's pitched, and he's pitched well, so that's 5 wins. And that's the thing, is they're not scoring the most runs possible, but they're scoring useful numbers of runs.
Right.
And that's just not going to continue. Although they do have, they have a chance to have an extremely good offense, almost like a Hiroshima Carp kind of offense.
Yeah, I really love the lineup, and that's the thing I was going to point to, and you said it already, that they score consistently, but that lineup looks like it could be the best in the Central League easily.
It could.
So, yeah.
But my one concern about the Tigers is not, well, in addition to the defense, is the fact that they need to give these guys... Well, they're already giving, I guess. I don't know. Are they giving Itoi any rest?
Not games off.
Yeah, and Fukudome, he, you know, used to be the guy you never ran on.
Yeah.
You never tried to go from first. Well, I mean, this happens to everybody. Players lose their arm strength. Outfielders lose their arm strength as they age. It's not a, you know, it's not a God-given, you know, it's not a free pass till the end of their careers. And used to be always, it was impossible to run on Fukudome early in the season, but it was easy at the end of the season. He typically gets gassed defensively at the end of the season. And I think he's gassed already.
Quite possible.
Yeah, I think he doesn't have the arm anymore in right field because people are taking advantage of that. Lots of little things. Basically, every defensive metric that you would look at, I think, for the Tigers would look bad.
Yeah, I think so. But they're getting good pitching, especially Rafael Dolis tied the club record for saves. This was on Thursday. He tied the club record for saves in a month. If he gets one today on Sunday, then he'll break the record. That he got his 10th, and he tied Kyuji Fujikawa, the guy I call Fuji-Q, and Ohsung Hwan, who's now still pitching with the St. Louis Cardinals. And
Okay, so if he gets the record today, will April 30th forever be known in Tigers lore as Dolis Day? No?
Funk. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That's some like the opposite of high heat. That's like, you know, a bounce curveball right there.
that was a wild pitch.
A guy who's been a dynamo for them, Masahiro Nakatani. Mm-hmm. Kind of been a breakout player for the Tigers. And I remember Kanemoto had praise for him during camp, but I just thought it was, you know, the typical manager trying to pump up a player who might make the club.
You know, I haven't seen that from Kanemoto a lot.
Praise?
No, I see praise, but I don't see...
Or just glib things. Comments about players.
Well, yeah, this guy's going to be really good, and this guy's going to... I haven't seen it about players except that they were really good.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to keep moving on, but... I did want to touch on one thing about Takashi Toritani's consecutive game streak mm-hmm. that I left out last week. And that was that, because we know he passed Tomoaki Kanemoto, his manager, mm-hmm. in for number two on the consecutive games played list. Mm-hmm. But Kanemoto played 1,492 consecutive games. He played every inning of those games, whereas Toritani did not.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Well, that streak ended last year when Kanemoto became his manager and said, oh, man, you need a break.
Yeah.
I can't have you out there at shortstop every day. You're killing us.
Yeah, well, he's still killing him. He just doesn't have a lot of range, it seems, at third base. And they're picking on him. And people are trying to hit the ball left side. So
again, I think that's something I think some of that is an adjustment. I think he's certainly he's quick enough to play third base. I think it's just a matter of him getting used to reading balls. As I said last week, picking up balls off the bats of right-handed hitters.
Right. All right, and some other notes. Yoshitomo Tsutsugo of the Yokohama Bay Stars finally hit his first home run of the season in his 92nd plate appearance. He's one of those players who was in the WBC, and we've heard people talking about WBC fatigue, this and that. And I did translate a story recently in which Hirokazu Ibata, he's first base coach for sure for the Yomiuri Giants. And Ibata explained the WBC situation, saying something that it was similar to what I spoke of, which is when you play those WBC games, you play them at 100%. You have to go all out because you can't afford to lose. Mm-hmm. But when you get into the regular season, you cannot possibly play every game at 100%. Full speed. Mm-hmm. You've got to slow down and you got to pace yourself. And I think it's that mentality that has affected some of these guys coming off the WBC, is what he said. So I want to agree with that.
Okay. Well, you're welcome to agree.
All right. And then the Fighters on Skipper Hideki Kuriyama's 56th birthday lost their 10th straight game. This was Wednesday, and it's the longest skid under Kuriyama, and it was the first of this length for the Fighters in 12 years. Mm. And this was bad. I mean, there's one great thing about the Fighters losing this many games. They still, as we go into games on Sunday, they only have 6 wins as we start play. They're down to just 12 games under 500, but man, they're looking bad. But the good thing about losing this much early on is you have a lot of time to come back. Plenty of time in the season.
Yeah, I mean, last time they were 11 and a half games back in June, and this year they're 11 games back in the end of April. So
things are looking up.
More time for a comeback, indeed. So, the potential for a comeback is a little easier.
Right.
One of the things I would mention is that, of course, the Fighters have been without Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Who went out on April 8th. And then when he was playing, In the few games that he played, they were scoring 2.89 runs a game, which is really not going to cut it. And they were 2-6. And mm-hmm. then they got kind of a – well, he went out, and then Nakata went out, and Kensuke Tanaka went out. And the starting pitching, which is the other part of that, their runs scored went to 2.26 runs per game.
Right.
And their starting pitching wasn't getting any better, so predictably they were 3-12.
Ugh.
But no, they've been playing badly. It's really hard to look at the Fighters and say anything positive about how they play. I guess Kensuke Kondo's had, and despite that, Kensuke Kondo's been probably the best hitter in the Pacific League this year.
Yeah, yes, he has. But do you think we're looking at a collective, like, title drunk team that thought they didn't have to, the guys didn't have to work that hard, or just worked as hard as it did, as they did in the previous off season, or are we just looking at a team that is lacking from the production of an Ohtani, or doesn't really have an ace starter out there?
That's a good question. I know I hadn't given it so much thought. Well, I have given it a thought about it, but I hadn't thought of them being title drunk. I think it can happen. I think, one of the components of doing well is playing relaxed.
Hmm.
And I guess it's easier to say play relaxed than it is to say, you know, another component is working very hard, which people tend to do, but, you know, working hard enough and working in the right way. Those are all things that need to be done, and they don't always all get done, obviously. So I can't say I'd be way out of my league trying to guess what's wrong with the Fighters, other than say that they're playing badly, and we were talking before the show that, you know, we don't expect them to continue to play this badly, because we've seen them do better. We've seen each of these individuals do better. I mean even Sho Nakata, who just came back from an injury, hit his first home run of the year. In the game they won to end the losing streak.
Right.
Even he doesn't play as badly as he's played this year. Although his pretty much every year is worse than, right now in his career, every year is worse than the previous one. I'm serious.
No, which is why we constantly say, you know, berate him with doses of reality. I mean, you're not that good, is what we keep saying.
Well, he hasn't played that good. I know, you know, he's hurt a lot. He gets hurt a lot, and I think that's part of the reason why his performance is going down every year. Is that's the one thing he's consistently doing, is getting hurt. So I think they're better. Yes, I think they have better players than this. Yes, I think the pitching obviously should be better. But so far, what we've seen on the field is no indication that they are any better than their record. In fact, I would go as far as to say that they're lucky to have 6 wins.
Well, speaking of lucky to have 6 wins, you look at the Lotte Marines and they only have 7. And you look at the Central League, and as poorly as the Dragons and Yakult Swallows have played, they each have 9 wins. Mm. They both have more wins. But the Lotte Marines, they're actually pitching better than I expected them to pitch, but yeah, they're just not hitting at all. They went into the game the other day. Well, as we go into games today, their team batting average is 187, and they've hit 6 home runs this season. And you know, they decided. Look at the Chunichi Dragons. They're running Masahiro Araki out there to try to get his 2,000th hit. Why don't we turn to the Babe, Kazuya Fukuda, and just try to get him 2,000 hits? So they just threw him out there. And he might get there. I predicted.
Well, yeah, he had a three-run double the other day. So yeah, man, it's not, again, he, you know, you put a bat in a guy's hand. And well, yeah, sometimes a ball is going to hit it.
Yeah, like you can't miss the ball every time. So, I mean, is this is this something we should expect from Lotte the rest of the season? Do you see things turning around? Do you see them trying to go out and get a guy who hits for power? Because the six home runs, that's pretty feeble.
That is feeble, but of course, again, I'll point out what I pointed out last year is basically they're hitting balls at people.
Well, maybe that's the plan.
Well, I don't think...
The plan being if we pitch guys here, that they tend to hit the ball here, and we can defend that.
I don't know either. I don't see that. Their defense has been bad. Their offense has been unlucky. And despite their defense being bad, their pitching has been pretty good, with the exception of Ayumu Ishikawa,
who got sent to the minors, went to the farm team. I thought something was wrong with him. That's what I thought. But again, he's another WBC guy, but didn't pitch the final that he was scheduled to pitch, so he didn't have that stress and that taxing work on his arm. So I don't get it.
Yeah, the last time a Japanese, a Samurai Japan pitcher didn't get to pitch in the final he was slated for, he went 24-0. So obviously it's not like a chronic thing.
Yes, the aforementioned Masahiro Tanaka. What about the Eagles? I'm just so impressed with what they're doing overall. They're hitting .282 as a club. They're getting a lot of doubles, a lot of homers. They're pitching well. I'm just impressed with the whole thing. But I just think it's not sustainable. I think somebody's going to have to come back down to earth.
Yeah, and they're doing a little bit of the opposite of the Marines. They're hitting lucky, probably the luckiest team in terms of lucky to the extent that it's unusual. You know, I'll switch leagues and say, you know, like when I talk about, you know, what happens when you put the ball in play, the Carp, it's like every game they're playing, it's like against the Hanshin Tigers defense. That's how good their offense is. No, and I mean it, because you know, if you put the ball in play against the Tigers, you got a 37% chance of reaching base.
Yeah,
and the Carp are about 36% chance when they put the ball in play. So that's amazing. But the Eagles are 33, which is a little high too. It's second best in NPB after the Carp. So I don't expect that to continue. What else would I say about the Eagles? The starting pitching they've seen this year has not been that strong, is mm-hmm. another one. So yeah, they're going to come down to earth, but I still see really good play from them. I don't think that's going to hurt them.
Yeah, leading the Pacific League in runs scored. They're up there in home runs. I think, they're leading in home runs. They've got 23 home runs. They've got 35 doubles as a team. They're just really banging.
Yeah, they've benefited from some good luck, but I don't think, I think that's the difference between them and, you know, and the Lions and the Buffaloes and the Hawks, is that they've been a little luckier, but I see some quality there.
I do too. All right, let's hope it keeps up for them. Let's go to fielding questions. All right, the first one is from Glenn in Tokyo, and this was a holdover. We weren't able to get to it from last week. But he says, I was watching Rakuten versus Seibu last mm-hmm. night, and so this is a long time ago, and mm-hmm. I saw a couple of umpiring calls at first and second that would cause most MLB managers to go full Lupinella. Alas, no one challenged the umps, and two runners were called out on a throw late to first and on an infield neighborhood play at second. Any reason why MPB managers don't often seem to challenge bad calls? Is replay requestable by managers, or only possible if the umpires initiate it? So, there is no replay on these calls in NPB. I'm sure you know that, Glenn. I think the replay is only for home run fair or foul, home run over the fence or not, and then you have replay on if a ball hit the wall.
Yep. If the ball hits they have replay to check to see whether a fielder catches the ball against the wall in right field or catches it off the wall.
Off the wall. And is that also reviewable on a foul ball? No, on a foul ball.
That's
I don't
a good
think
question.
It, I haven't seen that play.
I haven't seen that either.
I think it's just home runs or a ball off the wall in play.
That's correct. As far as I know, yes. I haven't seen that about foul balls, but I don't understand why it wouldn't be.
Yeah. And then they do replays on plays at home. And that's
correct.
That's it.
So first base, forget it.
So they can't they can't request that the umpire go and take a review of his bad call at first base, which I saw the other day. A guy chasing 2,000 hits, I just mentioned, Araki of the Dragons, and he's running, and a ball is clearly there ahead of him at first base. It was a game against the Swallows at Nagoya Dome, and the umpire called him safe, and I thought the Swallows were going to get reamed on in this game, but they actually turned it around and won the game, so I was happy for them. I don't like to see guys lose on a really bad call like that, but I guess the umpires are involved in trying to get guys to 2,000 hits as well.
Yeah, well, I've seen that. Gail Hopkins told us, the umpires and scorers are involved in getting guys to win batting titles.
Some
umpires have told me, of course, that replay's not necessary because the umpires are always right. Having said that, those were umpires.
Yeah.
Interesting. And first of all, Glenn, the full Lou Piniella, I like that. Is it like a version of the Macarena?
The Macarena.
The full Lou Piniella. Okay. I think we're just a generation too late. I mean, I remember Kyosuke Sasaki and Osamu Higashio when we had Mike DeMuro, who was a major league umpire. Before he was a major league umpire, he was a Central League umpire.
Yeah,
and he got run out of Japan basically because of all the abuse, you know, the violence.
Yeah. Particularly Sanichi Hoshino in a game in Gifu, was it? Yeah, I think
it was indeed. Yes,
Nagano-gawa,
They told him call the strike zone like you do in the U.S. and he called it. You know, he called an outside strike as MLB umps years ago decided that, well, if the pitch on the black inside is a ball, we'll call, you know, instead of, we'll give you two ball lengths outside. They tried to force pitchers outside. We called that against Yasuaki Taiho, and Hoshino wasn't having any of that. And so they ran him out of Japan, basically. I mean, there were other factors as well. But they ran him out, and then right after that, in a Pacific League game, right after he left in the middle of the season, that Kyosuke Sasaki, the manager of the Kintetsu Buffaloes, and Osamu Higashio, my buddy with the Cebu Lions, swore, you know, to uphold, you know, they had a series in which they swore to uphold the dignity of umpiring. They were ashamed for how poorly this foreign umpire was treated. And then it was about a week later when they were playing again, and in a play, there was a pickoff play at second base, and there was a questionable call, and they went out and they basically beat up the umpire, and then he changed his decision, and the other manager beat him up, and then after the game, Higashio went to the umpiring room and put the offending umpire in a headlock.
there's your replay.
But right now, exactly, I think, you know, we have the tradition, like the Giants managers are all very
stately.
Stately, yeah. Hara never argued it. To me, it was perplexing because he didn't think. I don't like to see umpires argue, managers argue, except, you know, to say, look, you did this, okay, let's get past it. And, you know, just, you know, we're watching and we're paying attention and, you know, don't screw us again.
Right. And that was going to be my point, is that there's really no point in arguing calls in any league because umpires don't change the calls. All you can do is really support your players and know that, you know, you let them know that you got their back and that's part of your job. But there are guys who are quite vocal from the bench. Hoshino used to be one of those guys.
Katsuya Nomura, the aforementioned a curmudgeon manager of several teams.
Right. Koichi Ogata of the Carp has been very... sending out some snipes from the bench.
Kanemoto's not the quietest guy.
And Ogata is a guy who doesn't mind going out there and testing out his mouthwash in the face of umpires.
Hashtag high heat.
That's it.
See if it's working or not.
Yeah, well, it might not have been because umpires didn't like what was coming out of it.
Get out of my face.
And two times with the same umpire, and he got tossed.
Yeah, Kanemoto has been barking from the bench. I've even seen Yoshinobu go out there and meekly or mildly, politely say, hey, dude, do your job, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't really make sense to argue the calls because they're not going to overturn them, so.
Yeah, I mean, in the majors, what you get is, you know, the old Earl Weaver.
Mm.
In the majors, you had Earl Weaver, who was, and his like, who, you know, when in economics, they call this rent-taking, in which basically you're there, you're hurting the game basically by stealing things from the other team. You basically intimidate the umpire into not do your best to intimidate the umpire to not make calls against you.
Yeah, but
so you're not helping the game; you're just hurting it. But that's a part of MLB. And again, like the slide rule at second base, if they're going to let you intimidate umpires, they're going to let you berate them and hold up the game and ruin the game for the fans, then you kind of have to do that.
Yeah,
but the problem is if everybody does it, there's no advantage to anybody. So it's a zero sum. It's a complete waste of time in the end. So yeah. You kind of have to legislate against that, all those things that are basically useless in the end result.
I agree. I mean, it's the human element that you have to push past. But I don't mind guys planting the seed, and I want an umpire to think about it. Man, if I make the wrong call, if I blow this call, I'm going to have to deal with this guy in my face again. So, testing out his bad mouthwash. But
wow.
thank goodness there's replay or limited replay in Japan, because we had a situation the other night. Tetsuto Yamada hit a home run, we thought, and the replays showed that it was clearly foul.
Mm-hmm.
And the umpires went in and reviewed it and got him back up at the plate because the ball was foul. And I think it impacted that game. Had that been a home run, it would have been a completely different situation. And there was Tomohiro Abe sliding home, I think it was the same night as this game, against the Bay Stars. And the ball was there in plenty of time, but the tag was not applied. And,
right.
And they got the call right on the field, and they had a review, and they came back out and said, no, we got it right. They were so happy. They were so happy. But, yeah, I can't see any point of arguing calls. And, you know, there's still a five-minute limit, and the manager is automatically injected. So just nothing's going to get changed.
Okay. Right. I'm glad to see that. I remember Nomura once arguing when Marty Brown was the manager of the Hiroshima Carp, and he was playing against it was probably 2009, the year before he managed Rakuten. He was managing against Rakuten, and Marty was arguing overly long because he had to have his interpreter.
Oh, yes.
Explain his opinion, and Nomura wanted him thrown out of the game because the interpretation was taking more than 5 minutes.
Nice.
He didn't say whether they wanted the interpreter thrown out of the game or not.
Throw them all out. All right, the next question is from Max in Los Angeles, and it's an MP3.
Hi, JBW. My condolences on the passing of Wayne Grasek. I appreciated the end of last week's show, listening to the words of the guys that were close to Wayne, that were affected by his passing, that learned a lot from him, that appreciated him. My question for you guys this week is, since Wayne is now departed, who will continue to make the Japan Pro Baseball Fan Handbook and Media Guide? I have a copy of the guidebook from last year, and I noticed that Wayne's name is the only name on the cover, and looks like inside the book as well. So did Wayne compile and make these entirely on his own, or was there somebody that was helping assist him in the production of these guidebooks? My question basically is, will the guidebook be made in the future? Once again, my condolences to both of you, and to everyone else that knew Wayne, that loved Wayne, I appreciate this podcast, and I appreciate the English-speaking NPB community. So thank you for taking my question. All the best.
All right, Max. Well, that's a fantastic question. Wayne's book, which is invaluable. I don't always use it, but I use it because it's so compact. Mm-hmm. I usually buy the Japanese books, but with Wayne's book, you've got all the names on one page, and you don't have to go flipping through to try to find them. So that makes it easier. It's a fantastic question that I hope somebody produces it, but Wayne was very dedicated. He was very diligent, and it's a challenge to duplicate this book. He went out and got a lot of advertising. He did. He arranged with the printer on the colors, and he took photos. And it's not just about organizing the names and the data, which is a challenge in itself, to wait till the last day when teams are still trying to acquire players in the off season. It's quite the task, and I don't know. And I don't know if I'm. I mean, It's going to be a hard question to ask his family, but I don't know if anybody in his family is able, willing, or dedicated.
If they do, I hope it remains Wayne Grassick's fan handbook and media guide, compiled by so-and-so.
Right, yeah.
I hope it does. Having published analytical guides to Japanese baseball back in the before time, that's a lot of work, and that's certainly something, although my computer skills have vastly improved, but, you know, like most technology, you're better at it. It only means more work, it gives you more gadgets to play with and more time to spend than you were doing the grunt work. So
right.
You're not saving any time. You're just increasing the output. You're probably spending more time, with twice as much time with 20 times as much output. So, but I don't think I'm going to go in that direction. But I sure hope somebody does because, and to be honest, I like to get, getting Wayne's guide was kind of part of the, it was the start of the season. Because to be honest, I used to use it a lot and I use it less and less so there's more information available online and my own data.
Right.
But it's handy for, it's really handy for 99.9% of the people who follow Japanese baseball.
Yeah, it is. It is useful. I always have it in my bag. I always keep it. So, I haven't been tweeting. I'm still kind of just in shock and mourning about Wayne. I'm still depressed. I started to reply to people on Twitter this past week and had a little bit of a snit with NPB Reddit because he was whining in the sixth inning of a game when his team was only down 3 runs and he was acting like the world was ending. So I apologize. That was just me being just angry, I guess, and I'm not in the business of berating fans for loving their team, so I apologize for that, and I think I killed off a few Hanshin fans because I was just missing Wayne, and I keep remembering him every time I see a pizza, every time I see a burger and fries or hot dogs or donuts or coffee or baseball, so I'm just not going to forget him, and so I'm going to try to get back to tweeting, but that's why I've been off.
Well, I think the answer is always, when you feel that coming on, you just think, what would Wayne do?
Yep, exactly, and he would enjoy it.
And tell a joke and be nice and let's all work together.
Yep, exactly. All right, so we will work together to put together a show for next week, and we will see you then. Thank you very much for listening. You can hit us up on Twitter at JBWPodcast with the hashtag HighHeat. Send questions by email to YAKYUJOHN@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page. Max and Glenn, thank you very much as always for the great questions. And we will talk to you next
week. Max, keep the MP3 coming so we can always use that voice.
Yeah,
in fact, can I borrow it?
Yeah, let me have it. No, me. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.